We turn in God's Word tonight to Matthew 7. I looked back and it was some time ago that I preached on the first five verses of the chapter. I preached on those in February as a preparatory service or a sermon. And now tonight we'll look at verse 6. This is the end part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and tonight we'll read the first 14 verses of Matthew 7. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again, and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Thus far we read God's Word. As I said, the text tonight is verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again, and rend you. God has given to us a great blessing in having this sermon of sermons of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given this to us in written form so that we can read it and hear it and receive instruction from Jesus Christ Himself. In this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ instructs us concerning His spiritual kingdom. And it's a powerful sermon about that spiritual kingdom. He instructs first in the beginning of the sermon of the characteristics of the citizens of this kingdom. Secondly, he tells us the essence of this kingdom, that it's a kingdom of righteousness. And then Jesus gives instruction concerning how the citizens of the kingdom are to live. And that's the part of the sermon that we look at tonight. It's in that last section of the sermon that speaks of how we are to live, and especially how we are to love God by loving others. But the thing that Jesus focuses on at the beginning of chapter 7 is judging. Judging. As I said, it was some time ago that we looked at the first five verses of the chapter. And we saw when we looked at those verses that Jesus, in the beginning verse, verse 1, when he says, Judge not that ye be not judged, Jesus is not forbidding all judging. Some would take that verse and out of context and look at it all alone and say, there it is, Jesus says, we must not judge, and therefore we must not judge other people in any fashion or in any way. Jesus is not saying that here in Matthew 7. He is forbidding wrong judging. Wrong judging is if we take the judging of God upon ourselves and judge the eternal destiny of men and women. That's the work of God in judging. We judge wrongly if we judge other people and their lives without first looking at ourselves. That's the focus of the first 5 verses of Matthew 7. Jesus says we must not look at other people without looking first at ourselves. We must first look at the log in our own eye before we're going to look at the sliver, the speck, in someone else's eye or in their life. And so we saw the importance then positively of a right judging. We are to judge one another. We are to be an encouragement and help to one another in our spiritual lives. And that means, at times, pointing out sin to each other, especially husband and wife, doing that in love for one another. Parents doing that with children. We doing that in our friendships with one another. That's a true and good friendship. But we must not do it in the hypocritical way of the Pharisees, who simply wanted to point out all the sins of others without looking at themselves. Jesus, in these very words, then put his finger on something that is common for us. And so we were reminded then to examine ourselves by that, look at our own sins, and help one another also. But now we look at verse 6 tonight. And this verse is an important verse in regard to this instruction of Jesus concerning judging. So important that if this verse were taken out of Matthew 7, Jesus' instruction concerning judging would not be complete. But this completes Jesus' instruction. And we see again from this verse that not all judging is forbidden. Only a certain kind of judging is forbidden. In fact, there is judging that's required within the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus' words here emphasize that and show the importance, first of all, of discipline in the church. We're going to see that in the second point of the sermon tonight. The application of these words of Jesus for discipline in the church and for even guarding the table of the Lord, so that we see all may not come to the supper of the Lord, but we practice supervised communion. Jesus says that this kind of judging is necessary and important in the church. In fact, if it's not done, it leads to chaos in the church, and it leads to the development of sin within the church. So Jesus, here in the text, instructs us to judge, to discriminate, but to do that in a right way concerning those who reject the gospel. And what we want to see tonight is how then this applies to us as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper next Sunday. With that in mind, I call your attention to this text under the theme, Called to Spiritual Judgment. Called to Spiritual Judgment. Look first at the meaning of this, secondly at the application, and finally at the reason for doing this. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself in this passage says to us, Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. With those very words, Jesus is giving instruction about judging that is good and in fact necessary in the church of Jesus Christ. Notice first of all that Jesus here speaks of that which is holy. What does Jesus refer to here when he speaks of that which is holy? Well, he refers to anything that is set aside to be devoted to God in a particular way, in a special manner. The Scriptures speak of many things that are holy. Scriptures speak of holy ground and the holy Sabbath and a holy nation and a holy house. And many other things have that word holy added to it. And the idea is that all of these things are special in that they're devoted to God in a special way. God's house is the church. You have a holy nation, which is the church. The holy Sabbath, a day that is set apart and dedicated to God. Now here, when Jesus speaks of holy things, He's speaking especially of the holy things that are in the church. We often put that term holy with the gospel. That's a right way to designate the gospel. It's a holy gospel. It's a gospel that's set apart because it alone is the true gospel. Jesus here, when He speaks of these holy things, is speaking of the gospel of grace. The true gospel of grace that declares that God alone saves. He saves sovereignly. He saves powerfully. We do nothing for our salvation. It's all the powerful and gracious work of God. And it's a work of God that we are unworthy of. We don't deserve this work of God. This holy gospel teaches that God chose His people from before the foundation of the world. God redeemed them with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. God works in the hearts of His people, the Holy Spirit, and all of the blessings of salvation through the Holy Spirit. God preserves His people to the very end so that they have everlasting life with Him. It's all in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel preached from this pulpit. That's the holy things of which Jesus speaks. And therefore, Jesus here is referring to the preaching of that gospel and the sacraments that declare that gospel as well. We will speak of the holy sacraments. That's bread and wine, water, that's set aside for a certain purpose. Nothing special in the bread, wine, and water of themselves. But yet those signs set apart by God Himself to declare this gospel of grace to us. These are the things that are reserved for God's people that they may be blessed by them. These are the things reserved for us so that we may be blessed by the preaching of that gospel and the sacraments that declare this precious truth of the gospel. These are the holy things Jesus speaks of. And because they're holy, they're also pearls. They are beautiful and they are precious. How beautiful is that gospel of grace that we hear each Sunday? How precious it is. It's more beautiful and more precious than pearls, than all the riches of this world. And they are so precious and beautiful that they must be handled with great care. That's the idea here as Jesus speaks to us concerning these things. This gospel is precious. This gospel is beautiful. And we may do whatever we want with it. There are certain things we may do with it, other things we may not do with it. And now Jesus says here that we are not to cast these holy things before dogs and hogs. Dogs and swine, the text says. We must understand who Jesus is referring to here when He speaks of dogs and hogs. When the text speaks of dogs, first of all, we have to understand the figure and the imagery rightly. We shouldn't think of that animal that we may have in our homes, that pet, that is sometimes called man's best friend. We shouldn't think tonight of that cute, maybe fluffy, smart, clean pet that you have in your home. But instead we have to think of the street dogs that ran in the streets of the cities of those days creating havoc. We should think of these large, snarling, savage, ugly, homeless dogs that were ungroomed and unkept. And they were savage. They would create havoc by going after the garbage that would be found in the streets. And they would run in packs and they would attack people. These dogs in that day were considered unclean and filthy. Not only that, but in addition to that, we must see and understand that dogs in that day were actually a sign or a picture of the curse of God. If one was eaten by a dog, that was a sign of God's curse resting on a person. Think of Jezebel. That wicked wife, that ungodly wife of Ahab, who was thrown down by her own servants into the street and she died there, but the dogs came and they devoured her body. That was a picture of God's curse upon her. These are the dogs that we must think of tonight. In addition, the text speaks of swine, pigs, hogs. This is also a contemptible comparison, for pigs were unclean animals. The eating of pork was considered an abomination because pigs were unclean animals, designated unclean by God Himself. It wasn't simply that they were stinky animals or that they were dirty animals. No, they were unclean. God said so in the Old Testament. So we find here in the text that hogs and dogs are mentioned together. And you find that in other passages too. You find that in 2 Peter 2, verse 22. Hogs and dogs are mentioned together in that passage and in other passages as well. But the question for us tonight is this. Who do dogs and hogs represent? Well, they represent those who are vicious toward the gospel. They represent those who have heard the gospel and want no part of it, but reject it and become enemies of that very gospel. These dogs and hogs are those who have heard the gospel. They're not just any wicked person that's found in the world. The dogs and hogs are not just simply anyone who might be found in a prison of this land today because he's committed the crime of murder, he's committed the crime of stealing, or he's committed the crime of sexual abuse. We shouldn't think that the dogs and hogs are just anyone who might be a prostitute or a drug dealer or a drug user or someone who would be homeless because of alcohol or drug abuse. That's not the case, because then that would mean that no one in the world today would be the object of mission work, and no one would be worthy then of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not what Jesus has in mind here. What Jesus has in mind here are those who heard the gospel. They've been called by the gospel to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. And they want no part of that gospel. They continue to live in their sin and they become enemies of that gospel of grace. They would be those who have been excommunicated from the church of Jesus Christ. Those who on a mission field have heard the gospel but then become those who attack that very gospel. There are those maybe who knew the gospel, heard the gospel, even grew up in a Christian home, but they turned their back on all of that so that they can continue in a life filled with sin. These are the ones of whom Jesus is speaking in the text. And Jesus then issues this command concerning those dogs and hogs: give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. It's very important that we understand clearly what Jesus is teaching here. This is a passage that's used often. We may use it often, or maybe we wonder, what does this passage mean? And maybe even if you looked at it this afternoon, you thought that, or thought, how is this going to be a preparatory sermon tonight? We have to understand it clearly, and we should understand that Jesus is teaching us here that there is a right judging and a right discriminating that must take place within the church. When there are those who clearly reject the gospel of grace, we must not continue to set before them these holy things or allow them to partake in the blessings of being members of the church of Jesus Christ. We can see and understand what Jesus meant in this passage from his own ministry. We see from Jesus' ministry that He did not handle all people in the same way. There's a contrast in the way that He dealt with different kinds of people. On the one hand, look at how Jesus dealt with Nicodemus, or the Samaritan woman. Remember Nicodemus, that leader of the Jews who came to Jesus by night? And he was wondering about the miracles of Jesus and what he was teaching about salvation. And Jesus taught him patiently, but directly, the beautiful truth of regeneration, that one must be born again to see the kingdom of God. He taught Nicodemus patiently and lovingly. Consider the Samaritan woman. Remember the Samaritans, they were despised by the Jews. But Jesus goes out of His way to talk to this Samaritan woman, who was a sinner. She had 7 husbands. Yet Jesus spoke to her about the living water. He spoke to her about Himself, about the blessings of salvation that are found in Him. He points out her sin. He does that directly. He does that boldly. But yet He brings the word of the gospel to her. He treated Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman directly but compassionately. But He didn't use the same manner with the scribes and Pharisees, did He? The scribes and Pharisees were those who rejected Him. They rejected His preaching. They rejected His instruction. They wanted nothing to do with it. And so what did Jesus do? Well, you find in His ministry, what did He do? He wasn't going to the Pharisees. He was going to the publicans and the sinners, the tax collectors, and those who were considered by the Pharisees to be the lowly of the earth. But Jesus went to them. He did not go to the Pharisees. He would speak to the Pharisees, but almost always rebuking them and admonishing them for their hard hearts. We see that then in Jesus' life and ministry, how He carried out this teaching that's found in the Sermon on the Mount. He did not give that which was holy unto the dogs, or cast the pearls of the gospel before the swine of these scribes and Pharisees who were hardened in their heart. Now, Jesus called His disciples to do the same. He instructed them not to remain too long in one place if there were those who rejected the gospel. Turn a few chapters later in the gospel according to Matthew, Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 14 and 15, where Jesus gives the instruction to those whom He's about to send out, His disciples. And He says, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." He's saying, don't cast the pearls before swine. Don't cast these holy things anymore before these dogs who reject the gospel of grace. And we find the apostles doing that in their own ministry and work, as we read of that in the book of Acts. I call your attention just to a couple of places. First, Acts 13, verse 46. This is after Paul and Barnabas preached there in Antioch of Pisidia to the Jews at the synagogue. We read in verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing," that was to the Jews, "but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." That's the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, following this word of Jesus Christ. You have that also in the city of Corinth, as we read of that in Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 6, where again the Jews rejected the gospel. We read there, Acts 18, verse 6, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." In both of these places, then, the Apostle Paul no longer brings the gospel to them, to those who reject that gospel. That's what Jesus is teaching here in Matthew 7. This means, then, for us that the work of the church, in the work of the church, when there are those who reject the gospel, that we must follow this instruction of Jesus. We have to see that Jesus is speaking these words to the church today. That's an important word for us. Because the pressure that comes on the church in the age in which we live is to tolerate, to be open, to let anybody remain, to give them the blessings of full membership in the church, even if there are some who are walking contrary to the Word of God, walking in sin without repenting of that sin. The most obvious examples of that today are, for example, homosexuality. That the church should be open to those who live in the sin, the vile, gross sin of homosexuality. Or that the church should be understanding of those who divorce and remarry. Therefore, those who do that still should be allowed to have membership rights and privileges within the church. And therefore, discipline should not be exercised upon such members. Or, in mission work, they should be allowed to be part of a fellowship and a group. But that's not what Jesus says here. That's not what Jesus says. He gives instruction in right judging. If a man shows by his actions that he hates the gospel, then such a man must be turned away from the church. We must not cast that which is holy before God's. That applies to many different things. That applies maybe to having a co-worker who continues to take the name of God in vain. And so you've spoken to that co-worker. And you've spoken in a humble way the truth of God's Word and the serious judgment that falls upon one who uses the name of God in that way. And maybe in your presence that co-worker goes out of his way or her way to take God's name in vain. Well, you've spoken what you need to speak. And no more do you cast these pearls of God's Word before the swine who say they don't want to hear that Word of God. That's one of the examples of that. Jesus is teaching us this is a right and proper way of judging that is done in the church, that's done by the preaching, that's done by the office bearers, that's done by all the members of the church. But as I said, this is a word that is directed to the church tonight. Jesus brings this word to us tonight. And we want to see how this applies to us in a very specific and real way. We want to see how this applies to us as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper next Sunday as well. And there are two things we want to see. The first is this. As we consider those who are dogs or hogs as identified by the text, we are reminded tonight of the source of this. We're reminded tonight that the source of being blinded to the gospel of grace and rejecting the gospel of grace is sin itself. It's the total depravity of man. There are hogs and dogs in the world today because of Adam's sin. Because of Adam's sin, there are those who are blind to the gospel. There are those who reject the gospel and want nothing to do with the gospel. This is something that sin produces. Sin produces those who are enemies of the gospel. Sin produces antagonists of the gospel of grace. Man of himself hates this gospel. We shouldn't be surprised at this, because that is what sin produces in the end. Sin in the end makes man to hate God and to love himself. Man only wants to love himself, and he doesn't want the things of God and the things of Jesus Christ. What this means then is that those who hate God and hate His gospel and then hate His church and hate the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the enemies of God and they are outside of His kingdom. We are reminded tonight what an awful thing it is to be outside the kingdom of God. Hogs and dogs, as long as they continue in their sin, they remain in their sin. They are outside the kingdom of God. There's nothing worse than to be outside of the kingdom of God. It's unpopular in our day to say such a thing, in our day of tolerance, when we should say that God loves everybody and He wants everybody to be saved. But this is the reality. There are many who are outside the kingdom of God. But that speaks to us tonight. There's something for us to learn from this. First of all, we have to recognize that there's something in us. There's something in us of those hogs and dogs. What I mean by that is that it is possible for us to be blinded to our own sinfulness so that we would fail to see our sin in the hardness of our hearts because we become blinded to that sin. That doesn't mean that we're outside the kingdom of God, but we have to recognize that there's the real possibility that we would be blinded to our own sin as the hogs and the dogs are. We must not look down our noses at them and think, that could never happen to me. Beloved, the reality is that's what you and I are of ourselves. And do we fail to see that in ourselves? We must see that in this week as we examine ourselves. That it's very well possible that we become blinded to our own sins. The sins that we harbor in our own hearts. We can make things look pretty good on the outside, especially when we're in front of others and we know that they're watching. Well, what's going on in here? What's going on in here in our minds and in our hearts? We have to understand that there's something of that in us because of our own sinful natures. And our response to that ought to be in this week that we're searching, we're looking, we're praying, we're asking God to show us, what evil way am I walking in? Show me. I want to see it. And confess. Confess that sin before God. Confess those sins before others we've hurt. We must confess our sins in this week. We must see where it is that we are enslaved to sin. The second thing we learn from this is that when we see those hogs and dogs in the blindness of their sin, rejecting the gospel of grace, we see just how loving and compassionate and gracious our God is. The only reason we're not in that same condition is because of God's grace. We've been delivered from rejecting the gospel of grace. Of ourselves, we're in that same plight. But God in His grace has opened our eyes so that we love the gospel. We know we're sinners. And we know that the only thing that saves us is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So as we examine ourselves in this week, may we see these things. May we be humbled by the grace and the love of God in Jesus Christ. May our hearts not be hardened, and may we not be blind to our own sin. May we see the greatness of God's grace. The second thing that we must see by way of application is that the text emphasizes the importance of dealing with impenitent sinners in a right way. Text speaks of dealing with impenitent sinners. Those are the dogs and hogs. They're impenitent sinners. They've heard the gospel. They know how they are to live, and they refuse to do it, and they continue to walk in their sin. There's application for us when it comes to the Lord's table. So often today, the practice of churches is that they open the table up to everyone. Maybe they have a bit of a disclaimer at the beginning. But in the end, whoever's sitting in the pew on that Sunday morning, when the Lord's Supper is administered in the church, anybody may come and anybody may partake. But we practice in our church what's called close communion, not closed. Close communion. And close communion means supervised communion, that the elders oversee the Lord's table. And what that means is that they are the ones entrusted by the Lord Jesus Christ to allow some to come and to keep others away, and they keep others away because they're walking in sin, not repenting of their sin. Or it may be that even though they are believing Christians and they confess the Lord Jesus Christ and they agree in many respects with the church where it's being administered, there may be some things they don't agree with. And remember, the Lord's Supper is an expression of unity. So they keep others from the table of the Lord for that also. But we must understand the importance of that. The Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes that importance of exercising supervised communion here in this verse. Although it's not specific for the Lord's Supper, this is part of the work of the church. Not everybody is allowed. We don't cast the holy ones before swine, before hogs and dogs, before those who are walking in sin and refusing to repent of that sin. The Lord's Supper is not for them. We must hear that tonight. If there are those who continue in their sin without repenting of that sin, as we read of that tonight in the Lord's Supper form, the Word of God says, you must not partake. You don't belong at the table. You must repent to know that there's forgiveness only in the blood of Jesus Christ. In addition to that, Jesus Christ is calling the church to exercise discipline upon those who are impenitent. The church must not allow in her midst those who continue to walk in ways of sin. That's a calling not just for the elders, but for the entire church. We are all called to rebuke and admonish those who are walking in ways of sin and they're not turning from that sin in their lives. There's a danger in this regard that we can be too patient. We are to be patient with those who are walking in sin. As the word is brought, individual members bring that word, and then maybe it gets brought to the elders, and the elders bring that word. We are to be patient with that, trusting that God will work through that means of the word. Yet, we must not be too patient either, so that what happens within the church is that in that patience, we allow those who show by their own actions that they reject the gospel, that we allow them to be members in good standing within the church. Jesus says here, don't cast your pearls before swine, before those who are impenitent. A passage that is a wonderful example of that is found in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. The church in Corinth, for a while, was not heeding this instruction of Jesus Christ. We find that in verses 7 and 8. Read in verse 7, the command of Paul to the church in Corinth, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with a leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, the church in Corinth had allowed a sinner in their midst without doing anything about it. The sin that was committed there was one of sexual sin, in fact, incest. And they allowed that man to continue there in the church without disciplining that man. But then Paul gives further instruction what they are to do if that man does not repent. Read in verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such in one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Notice he uses the term judge. Do not ye judge them that are within? For them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's part of the instruction of Jesus here in Matthew 7. We put out from the church those who are walking in ways of sin, those who are impenitent for their sins. And this is an important word not only for discipline, but for the continued work of the church, for the witness of the church in the world and for our missions. This is how Jesus calls us to deal with those who reject the gospel in this work of missions and in witnessing. We don't keep bringing them the word. If they reject it and show themselves after, over a period of time, that they are hogs and dogs by the judgment of the Word of God itself, then we don't keep bringing that gospel before them, but pray that the Holy Spirit will use what we've said in the past to maybe bring them to repentance for their sins in the future. There's a reason that this work must be exercised in the church, that we must not cast our pearls before swine. That reason is given in the text at the end of verse 6, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Think about it. Pearls on a pig. Kids, think about that for a minute. You'd almost laugh at that. Pearls on a pig? Doesn't fit, does it? That's the idea here. If you threw some pearls at a pig, the pig might sniff around, maybe thinking it's food at first, but when he finds out it's not food, not what he wants, he just leaves them be and he'll trample them. That's the idea here in verse 6. Pigs don't appreciate the value of pearls. So also that's true spiritually. Those spiritually who are pigs, they don't appreciate the value of the gospel. And that's why they despise it. And so in the end, they trample it underfoot. That's what's going to happen with pearls that are in a pen with a pig. And that's the same thing that happens with these spiritual pigs. They hate the gospel and they attack the gospel. They seek to destroy the gospel. They trample the gospel under their feet. That's their goal, because they hate it so much. And in addition, the text says, they will turn again and rend you. They're going to attack you, is the idea of Jesus here. The dogs and hogs don't remain neutral when it comes to the church and to the gospel. They attack it. That's what will happen on the mission field. That's what will happen as well to those who are put out of the church because they continue in their sin and will not repent of their sin. They will seek to destroy the church and to destroy that gospel of grace. And if that's allowed to remain in the church, it becomes a horrible cancer within the church that will destroy the church. That's what we must see here. That's what will happen in the church if hogs and dogs are allowed to remain within the church. It's in the end going to destroy the church. And also from this perspective, God warns time and time again that the church that allows such people to remain in the church will be judged by Him. He will remove its candlestick. It will cease over time to remain a faithful church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will remove the truth. There will be a famine of the Word. Not that there won't be a Word. There will be a Word. But it won't be the true Word of the Gospel. It's serious to allow hogs and dogs in the church. Therefore, this command of Jesus must be followed in the church, in our church, for the defense of the church and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When this command of Jesus Christ is followed and this kind of judging and discerning is done within the church, this is for the good of the church. It's for the strengthening of the church. It's for the defense of the church. You see, it's not just to get rid of some people. No, those who are walking ways of sin, discipline is exercised, for example, to show that there's a desire for them to repent. It's the last remedy. But there's another reason for it. It's for the good of the church, the strength of the church, the defense of the church. May we tonight be encouraged to follow this command of Jesus in a world that says there must be no judging and we must be tolerant of all things. May this judging be performed in the church for the good of the church, for the protection of a sacrament, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, but also for the defense of the gospel and the church itself. May we pray for our church too, that we would continue to do this. And in that way, may our church be strong. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word, for this encouragement. We pray, Father, that this word may bear fruit in our lives too, that we would repent of our sins. And we pray, Father, that where there are those who are impenitent, who continue to walk in their sins, we pray that Thou will bring them to repentance. But if not, may the church be strong. May we follow this Thy word. And may we carry that out in our lives as well. We pray for Thy blessing upon us as we examine ourselves. May we see our sin and the wonder and the beauty of Thy grace. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.